something I don't already know. I know that you can't stand these things I'm preaching in the streets, but how can I contain the truth I hold inside? All the hurting people that I see, so I don't mind putting up with you and all the things you say. I'm not about to stop or even change my ways.
Hello friends, welcome back. You're listening to the True Stream Oasis podcast. The True Stream Oasis podcast can be found at truthstreamoasis.com or at truthstream.podomatic.com. True Stream is a part of the Revelations Radio Network, so if you guys would like to find other podcasts like True Stream, you should go on over to the Revelations Radio Network at revelationsradionetwork.com. I'm your host, Amos Ridley, and today is the day that the Lord has made, so let us be glad and rejoice in it. Yes, though we sit in the midst of spiritual darkness, guess what? Guess where our light comes from? That's right, you got it, the Lord. The Lord is our light. Though we sit in the midst of spiritual darkness, the Lord will be our light. The Lord is our light and our salvation. Of whom should we fear? Of whom should we be afraid? My friends, we all know that the world is spiraling out of control. There's been many people who have been trying to set dates and say, oh, this summer is going to be, you know, the summer where everything falls apart. This autumn, you know, the economy is going to be destroyed and it's going to fall into the abyss and the world's going to fall apart. We've been dealing with this for a few years now. It really kicked itself off with 9/11 because that was a huge event, and it was called Ground Zero. And it was Ground Zero because it sent ripple effects all over the world. It was a time where some great changes took place in the governments around the world. And as most of you Christians out there know, it was a time that it seemed like everything just really accelerated. And those of you that have listened to the True Stream podcast will know that it was around that time that kicked off the so-called truth movement, and that kind of kicked off, you know, the conspiracies that are going on behind the government's curtain. It was a time when it seemed to be starting to be revealed to everybody. It started coming out mainstream. It was just a time where it was one of those events where everything changed. And, you know, 9/11 happened, what? It's 2010, about 9 years ago. It'll be 9 years this September 11th. So this has been going on for a while. And for a lot of you Christians out there that listen to the True Stream podcast, you may feel like this is a marathon race. I know I felt it. I felt like ever since 9/11 that, you know, it just gets you weary. You know, you look at the news, you listen to the so-called prophets on the internet, on television, and it's just been a barrage of things. There's no real word to put there to say, you know, exactly what it is, but if you're like me, you just feel it. You just feel weary, worn out spiritually. And this may not be for everybody, but this is for those that are out there that might be feeling sort of like I do. And, you know, I've always got on the mic and talked to you guys about things that were going on in my life, because I learned that there's no temptation but that which is common to man. And I've learned a secret. I learned that, you know, since we all are in the body of Christ and we all have the same Holy Spirit, that generally if I'm going through something and the Lord is speaking to me or having me go through a particular season in my spiritual life. I've learned that if I just get on the mic and talk about it, that generally it's pretty targeted to a lot of other people. I've received a lot of great emails from the listeners and from all of you out there. And those of you that take the time to email me, I really do appreciate that. Many, many times I've gotten an email from one of the listeners during a very pointed time of attack from the enemy. I've been down, discouraged about something, and all of a sudden I open my email box and I get encouraged because, you know, a listener will write in and say, you know, wow, I downloaded this podcast, man, and it was like, it was just, you know, it hit the target. I just found your podcast on the internet and, you know, it really spoke to me and spoke to what I'm going through right now. So that's generally how I run the podcast. You guys know, if you're subscribed, that, you know, you open your iTunes or your Zune or you're looking on the site and you're like, wow, Amos hasn't put a podcast out in a while. Well, I don't, and I've said this many times, I don't put the podcast out for, you know, just to do a podcast, just to say, well, I've done 3 podcasts this week. I generally don't get on the mic unless something's moved me to get on the microphone and speak something, because I take this very seriously. I realize that this goes out all over the world and that people are listening all over the world. And that, to be honest with you, is like a very, very humbling experience, of which I'm not worthy, but Christ is worthy. And if Christ has something to say through me, then I should obey. And I've gotten to the point where I recognize when he's pressing me to speak about something. And sometimes, like today, I'll feel pressed to speak about something, and I won't know exactly what I'm going to say because I don't run this podcast by making notes. Maybe some people think that I should, but I just don't. I just pretty much speak from my heart. I have done a couple podcasts that I prepared, such as The Language of Deception and the podcast about, you know, America and the economy going down. The I think it was called the Selling of America. it's been a while, guys. I don't even remember the names of my podcast sometimes. But you know, for the most part, I get on here, speak my heart. I try to let the Holy Spirit speak through me and just get on here and encourage you guys, because I know there are a lot of you out there that are tired of the same old. One verse revolving reverence, you know, that just get on and read a verse and just talk pop psychology. But, you know, it's a fellowship and we're all in this together. And many of you have told me that you find the podcast comforting, and that is a blessing to me, because, you know, that's what I would want. The Lord tells us to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I know there are some nights that I load up my iTunes looking for a nice comforting podcast to listen to, something that will encourage me in my walk and, you know, help me along in my journey. And I just wanted to start out. I had a friend of mine send me a page to another Christian brother. And right on the front of the page was this verse. And they hit me up on Skype right before I turned the microphone on. So I just thought I'd share it with you because it's really an awesome verse. It's Isaiah 40, verse 31, and it says, "But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Many of you guys know that I've spoken about the verse in Revelation where it says this calls for patient endurance on part of the saints. And that verse has really meant a lot to me over the past few years with just all the craziness that's going on, because it is crazy. And one of the things that I'd like you guys to focus on is that verse, that we got to have patient endurance. I mean, we're stuck in Babylon. The Bible talks about in Revelation 18 that the world is Babylon, and I personally believe that if there was a torch holder of Babylon, if there was a capital in the world of Babylon, it would be America. And if there's a capital of the capital, it would be New York City. That's just my personal feelings on the matter. New York is like the financial capital of the world. Over here in Australia, they call it the Big Smoke, you know, because anything that happens, it usually happens in New York. And so we are in Babylon, and God has told us that Babylon is it's confusion. It goes back to the word Babel, where they had the Tower of Babel, and God confused the languages. So basically, we're living in confusion. You can turn the television on at any moment. Turn on Fox News, CNN, MSNBC. For those of you who are downloading this in Australia, Sky News. Those of you who are in the UK, the BBC. Turn on any of the major news networks and just sit and watch. The world's going crazy. They're going mad. They literally are. The Bible is the truth. The Bible tells the truth about the hearts and souls of men. It is our only source of truth in this world. And the Bible, God's word, is our light. It is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And the light exposes the darkness. The Bible says that God's word is like silver refined seven times over. So I was just speaking the other day to a friend of mine. I'm sure he's probably listening and knows who I'm talking about. But he sent me a clip of this new movie coming out called The Wolfman. And in it, at the end of the theatrical trailer, it is Anthony Hopkins saying, you know, the beast will have his day. And I thought that was kind of interesting when my friend sent that to me. It also talked about the, it showed a person with a little bit of their chest showing, and it had this claw mark. And they were talking about how, you know, he had been marked by the beast. And, so, you know, with God's word being refined like silver seven times over, and with I think it was it Stalin, I think, that said ideas are more powerful than guns. Okay, follow me here. I'm gonna make a point here in a second. If ideas are more powerful than guns, well, ideas are expressed through words, and guns shoot bullets. So a lot of times, I'm sure you've heard this before, words are like bullets. And if God's word is like bullets, and God's word is like silver refined seven times over, then God's words are like silver bullets. And we even know, even in their own legend, that the beast, the wolfman, the werewolf, can be killed only with a silver bullet. So we must speak God's word. God's word is very powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides between mind and heart, soul and spirit, flesh. It goes in there and it just divides. It cuts it clean. It says, nope, this is right, this is wrong. Nope, this is light, this is dark. It takes the mixture and the confusion and it separates it. And you'll find, my dear Christian friend, that if you have not been in the Word lately, you need to get into God's Word. It will comfort you. It will take the insanity and unmix it and bring you back and tune you back in with truth. The Bible is our spiritual food, so make sure that you feed on it. We feed on physical food that keeps us alive. The Bible is our spiritual food. And Christ said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you shall ask for what you will and it shall be done. That he is the vine and we are the branches. And that if the branches are not connected to the vine, you're not going to produce any fruit. You're not going to be tapped into the life. And Christ is our life. So I wanted to encourage you guys a little bit today with that. To stay in God's word and to... just know that you're not going crazy. You're not nuts. The world is insane. It's going mad. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 18, when it's talking about Babylon, that Babylon is the harlot, and that's a prostitute. And she holds the golden cup filled with the filth of her abominations out to the whole world. And, you know, what is that? I mean, what is that golden cup? I've wondered about that oftentimes. And I think about, you know, the stuff that's going on behind the scenes with the, you know, these elite groups like the Illuminati, the Rosicrucian, the Learned Elders of the Priority of Sion, some of these secret societies like, you know, the Skull and Bones, all these things, the Knights Templar, all these secret societies that are there. What do they all have in common? They all worship with the mystery religions, you know, the mystery religions, the stuff that goes back and mixes in, you know, myths and gods and goddesses, supposedly, and it goes back to Egypt and all that stuff. And just, I don't even want to go there because it's nothing but confusion. It's the mystery religions. And God talks about Babylon being the harlot, and she had stamped on her head mystery, you know, mother of all the prostitutes and of all the harlotries of the earth. So Babylon is likened to a female, and she's holding this golden cup filled with the filth of her abominations out to the world. And as the world drinks of this cup, they go mad. It's filled with the filth of her abominations, and it's also filled with the maddening wine of her adulteries. Okay? So if you drink the cup, if you drink this maddening wine, first of all, what does maddening mean? Does it mean it makes you angry? No, it doesn't make you angry. It makes you go crazy. It makes you go insane. That's what, you know, when they say somebody's been, you know, gone mad or they've been driven mad, you know, that it means that they were driven into craziness, insanity. So this cup is filled with the filth of her abominations. It's filled with the maddening wine of her adulteries. And if you drink of this cup, you too will be driven mad by this wine. And that wine is the filth of her abominations. And there are many podcasts out there today that are just so intent on feeding you this cup to drink, just holding it out for you. It may all be in the name of, you know, trying to be a watchman, but Satan's very crafty. And one of the things that I started this podcast out based on was the fact that I had delved so deep into the conspiracies that it was driving me crazy. It literally was. It was oppressing me so bad that I was getting to the point where my faith was weakened. And I didn't know which way was up and which way was down. I had God's word, but I was getting confused. And it was eroding away at my faith. And I literally came to a head one day where I was just having so much pressure in my chest that it was scaring me. And I just felt like my head was swirling and I just didn't know what to do. And I just rolled off the bed onto the floor. And I literally started banging my head on the floor, just asking God to like help me. Yeah, that was stupid. But I was in such an emotional state at that point from being so deep into it and just being so frustrated that I really got to the point where I broke. And I think that's where the Lord was bringing me, you know, to help me to see what this was all about, to break the spell that the 9/11 and getting into conspiracies and figuring out what the government's doing and figuring out the end times, this whole thing that had goaded me into this situation, you know, God wanted to show me what was going on. And I do believe that he allowed it for a reason. And this podcast is based on bringing people out of the conspiracies, bringing them out of confusion, bringing them out of Babylon, into that safe haven of rest that is found in the sanctuary of the Lord and in his truth. So, you know, I was just coming out of the conspiracies, and so I would talk about them. I resolved to not go in deep and talk about all of the symbols and the signs and their religions and what they believe and what the disobedient do in secret, which, you know, Ephesians 5 says is a shame to even mention. But I talked about some of these things in the agenda because I wanted some of the people to who were interested in conspiracies to start listening. And then as people listened throughout my podcast, as God was taking me out, I was hopefully putting up signposts for those who would follow, for those who would fall into it to come out. This isn't, you know, like the Billy Graham Power Hour or anything. This isn't a church. This isn't, as you would think of it, like, you know, on television, or even out in your streets. This is, you know, a ministry that I feel the Lord gave to me specifically to those who were getting caught up with the confusion and being disillusioned by all the things in the world. This is a pointed ministry to save those people from the area that I was falling into, and that's confusion. So, with that said, that cup that the harlot holds out is filled with the maddening wines of her adulteries. It's filled with the filth of her abomination. I'm going to take a second here to take you guys. This podcast is pretty much going in a totally different direction than I thought it would, but that's okay. I'm going to go to Revelation chapter 18. For those of you that have your Bible, you may want to turn there. I like to use blueletterbible.org, so I always have that up on my computer when I'm doing the podcast here. And in Revelation chapter 18, it says, chapter 18, verse 1, says, "After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice, he shouted, 'Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a home for demons and a haunt for every evil spirit, a haunt for every unclean and detestable bird.'" An unclean and detestable bird, when God says that, it is a metaphor, a spiritual image that's talking about demons and evil spirits. It says in verse 3, "For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries. Then I heard another voice from heaven say, 'Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. For her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Give back to her as she has given. Pay her back double for what she has done. Mix her a double portion from her own cup. Give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart, she boasts, 'I sit as queen. I am not a widow, and I will never mourn.'" And that's a reference to the Old Testament. I believe it's right around Isaiah 46. I'm not sure. I should have done a reference on that. But that's talked about in the Old Testament. And one of the things that you'll find is that it's really good to get to know the Old Testament, especially the Old Testament prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah. And the minor prophets are awesome, like Habakkuk, Micah, Zephaniah, Joel, Amos. There's just so much in those Old Testament books. And if you get familiar with that, it is going to just open up New Testament prophecy, because a lot of the New Testament prophecy is pointing back to the Old Testament. They kind of open each other up and unseal each other. So she boasts in her heart, "I sit as queen, I am not a widow, and I will never mourn. Therefore, in one day her plagues will overtake her, death, mourning, and famine. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her. When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and cry, 'Woe, woe, O great city, O Babylon, city of power, in 1 hour your doom has come.'" And I believe that 1 hour is like the 1 hour that Jesus spoke of in Revelation, I believe it was chapter 3, about the church of Philadelphia. He said about to the church of Philadelphia, he said, I will keep you from the hour of temptation that is coming upon the whole world to test those who dwell upon the earth. That 1 hour is the hour of trial. It's not literally 1 hour. It refers to the time period of the end when the prophetic clock starts ticking down for these last days events. So over the period of these last days, Babylon's doom will come. And Babylon is basically, like I said, it is referred to as a female, and she holds this cup up and it out for the nations. It says in verse 3 of Revelation 18, for all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. And sometimes, you know, when I refer to America, one thing I learned when I came over to Australia, and some of you in foreign countries know this, is that the world lives on a lot of American culture, especially here in Australia. You go into the stores, you go into the video stores, you see 98% American movies. You go and turn on the radio, you see, you hear 98% is music coming from American artists. You know, it's, they grow up here, at least in Australia, on American culture. It's on the television, they see the movies, the sitcoms, the television shows. So, you know, even in a physical sense, you know, the world is drinking of America's culture. And when I say America, I'm not talking about all of the people in America. I'm talking about the government and the culture, this evil culture that has come out of America. There are still plenty of good people in America, horizontally speaking, that is. But, you know, it is the likes of Hollywood. It is the media. It is the elites. It is the basically what Nahum chapter 3 talks about, the locusts. You know, the locusts are the officials, the merchants, the rich man, your guards, okay? They settle in the walls on a cold day and they don't leave until the sun appears. And then you look at things like, you know, in Revelation chapter 9, where it talks about the abyss being opened and the locusts come out of the smoke. And the smoke from the abyss being opened is, you know, darkens the sky so that the sun doesn't shine. It was like a huge furnace billowing out smoke, and it darkened the sky. And you have the the imagery also of the smoke of Babylon's burning. And then sometimes I think about Australia calling New York and America the big smoke. You know, sometimes I wonder if all this stuff goes together. You know, things are, sometimes I just think they're not coincidental, you know, that they are there for a reason. But you see the locusts, the things like Hollywood, the officials, the government, these locusts, as the Bible calls them, just eating up all of the greenery, like locusts doing a locust plague. It's like a spiritual locust plague. You know, they eat up all the greenery, anything that's good and has life to it, they corrupt it, you know, to where it's dead and desolate. And that's what they're doing to people's hearts. They're just pushing people further and further into wickedness with these movies and things. It's literally the harlot causing all the nations to drink the maddening wine of her adulteries. These are her adulterous ideas, and she shares them with the world and causes them to drink. Not only that, but now we're getting to the bottom dregs of the cup, because Babylon, these elite groups, these mystery religions that are behind the scenes, these secret societies that, yes, they are going on behind the scenes, and yes, are the people that are in government that you see on television that are running the world, the elites that run these corporations, the elites behind Hollywood, the media, these media moguls, they're all part of the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, which have shady ties to all of these groups and secret societies that behind the scenes, what most of you don't see. I know a lot of you that listen to my podcast know this, but for those of you that may be listening that don't know this, they're Luciferian at the core. That's basically what it all boils down to. Because even if they're worshiping some made-up God name, it's Lucifer, because there is Lucifer's side, and then there's the side of the one and only Almighty God, Yahweh, the Lord Almighty. So we have these two opposing sides. So they're Luciferian, and what they do in secret is too much of a shame to even mention to you guys. But now all this stuff's coming out. All this stuff that they did behind the scenes, they're showing their religion and their mentalities on the History Channel now. They're showing the Knights Templar, these secret societies. It started coming out on the internet. You know, I was a part of it. I got goaded in. You're a watchman. You're supposed to tell people and warn them what's going on. But in doing so, it was a trap. I should have just focused on the word. And I didn't get that until that day that, you know, I rolled off my bed and was banging my head on the floor. I mean, you know, God gave me an epiphany, a revelation. He opened my eyes to what was going on. In trying to be a watchman, I was spreading the poison. I was feeding what they were doing, the filth of their adulteries, to my fellow Christian brothers and sisters, to those other people who I was trying to witness to. And I was trying to do it because I thought, let me show you the darkness of the world. And me, in my naivety, thought, well, obviously they'll run to the Lord for salvation if I show them what the world that they're trusting in is doing. But you see, salvation is a work of the Lord. It is a work of the Lord alone. And the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes through the word of God. So they've got to hear the word of God to get saved. I can't tell the unsaved, your world's horrible. First of all, they're blind. The Bible says that the natural man cannot understand the spiritual things, for they are spiritually discerned. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you must be born again. That which is born of water is water, is flesh. You know, you're born in the water of your mother's womb. The waters break and you're born. But that which is born of spirit is spirit. You must be born again. You must be born of not only the water, but also the spirit. So it is a work of regeneration by the Holy Spirit of God, and can only be done through the Lord penetrating somebody's heart, cutting them to the heart about their own sins and about how there truly is a holy God and that you've offended him. And only God can bring that repentance about in somebody's heart. That repentance is even a gift from the Lord. So, you know, I just started to realize, you know, I've got to try to help reverse some of this. You know, the whole world's walking headlong into the conspiracy, into the darkness, into the disillusionment, into the trust being broken. And I wanted to reverse it, and I wanted to focus on the word. So when I started talking about the conspiracies and everything, I was using the Bible. I said, look, guys, you know, you don't need to look at Babylon. You don't need to look at this. You can kind of just look at the world and read the Bible. And Ephesians 5 talks about light making everything manifest. And what is light? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus didn't expose the conspiracies of Rome, and I'm sure there were tons of conspiracies going on. There was a group of zealots who were trying to do the whole thing with fighting and with swords and telling people about the conspiracies. Jesus didn't get involved in that. He spoke the word, because he told the parable of the farmer, you know, where the farmer spreads the seed and some of the seed falls, you know, along the side of the path, and it gets choked by the sun. It goes, you know, some of the seed sprouts up and it gets choked by the weeds and the cares of the world. Sometimes the birds come and steal the seed that was sown. Satan takes the seed that was sown in their heart and snatches it away. So what Jesus was telling us is, you know, don't worry about all that stuff. You know, we're not unaware of the devil's schemes. The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. And there is a time and place to point at something and saying, look what they're doing. But there is absolutely no need to teach what they do in secret. There is no need to delve so deeply into it to do that. You're almost trusting in your own mentality. You're like, but I need to know because, you know, I've got to know what they're doing to try to deceive me. And so what you're really doing is you're relying on your own smarts and your own intelligence. You're like, I've got to know. Whereas the Bible says that, you know, that the Lord seals us in our forehead. He says, you know, in Revelation chapter 7, he says, you know, tells the angels not to harm the sea, the land, or the green grass, or the trees, or anything. Hold it off until I seal the servants of our God in their foreheads. And that sealing, if you look at the seals in Revelation, the seals are always have to do with knowledge. Like when he says, you know, the white horse comes forth and he went out to conquer and he did it with a bow, but there's no arrow, conquers through peace. This is, when that seal is open, it is the seal of knowing what that is. So I believe the seals have to do with knowledge because God sealed the truth. Paul even talks about us being sealed by the precious Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. And that seal in their forehead, where what is in your forehead is your mind. So you're sealed with the knowledge of the truth. And the Holy Spirit is the one that leads you into all truth. So think about it. It spiritually opens up to you. It all makes sense. Since you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. He is the counselor, the teacher. Then you're really sealed with the knowledge. You're sealed with the one who has all of the knowledge of the truth. So you are sealed with the knowledge of the truth. And when the beast marks them in their forehead, they're marked with the knowledge of the world. Their mindset and their perception is of the world. So we can't, when they have the perception of the world and they don't have the Holy Spirit and they haven't been born again, they're not going to become saved by us telling them how bad Babylon is. You know, they need to hear the word. The Bible says, preach the word in season and out of season. Jesus says, you know, with the parable of the sower, cast the seed. The seed is the word of God. So we are to be sowers, sowing the seed of the word of God. And we should always base everything on scripture. Because God's word is the only truth to use in the universe. It is our handbook. And I've even heard this cute little saying, you know, that Bible stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. It's our handbook. It's the love letter from our Lord to us to guide us during the storms. It is our compass. Okay. And how can you take somebody's compass away? By eroding people's trust in the Bible. That's the battle, eroding people's trust in Christ, corrupting everything to make it feel like there's nothing left that's holy, and that everything's just blah, it's just flat, it's just the world, it's just science, you know, everything's just science, and we're just here. That's where evolution plays a part. So all of these things are battling against us, and it's getting worse. It's getting more intense. Probably if you're witnessing to people out there, you're probably feeling a lot like I do, that people just aren't listening. People's hearts are getting harder and harder because the wickedness is getting worse. Television is getting worse. Movies are pushing people into all these crazy ideas. You know, it's getting more violent, and they're just getting more wicked on television. I was flipping through the channels the other night looking, and I stopped on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno, and he's just talking about all this, you know, crazy stuff, sex, all kinds of things, and it's just all open, you know, joking about homosexuality and all kinds of things, stuff that you would not have seen 20 years ago. The people would have been all over the television networks back. But see, each generation starts out at a lower moral standard than the one before. And Satan's just patient. He just keeps working it. Next generation, we get them worse. You know, their children will grow up in a worse world, and that'll be normal to them. That will be their baseline. That's where they'll start from. And then they'll degenerate. And then the next generation, and it's just gotten so bad that people's hearts are just hardened. They're just becoming comfortably numb. In order to survive, that's one of the things that I've faced, just being in this world and seeing everything that's going on. I feel this battle of trying to stay sensitive and to not become numb, because it just keeps encroaching and it distresses my spirit, like Lot, who was vexed in his spirit over what was going on in the world. And so that's another battle, is not to become numb. Don't become numb. We have to stay in the Word. The Word is a sword. It will cut away that numbness. We are in a very, very serious spiritual battle, and we need to wake up. We all need to wake up. We need to cry out to the Lord for mercy. We need to cry out to the Lord of heaven, hear our prayer, O God. Please, like the prophets of old used to ask the Lord, O Lord, why do you sleep? Rouse yourself from your sleep. Come down and beat back our enemies. Let your face shine upon us once again. Because when the light of God's face turns away, everything's dark. Light only comes from the Lord. And if he turns his face away from his people, it's going to get very dark. And the Bible says, woe to those who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? It is a day of darkness, of thick darkness, of black clouds without a ray of light. Isaiah talked about those days. He said, I've seen an overwhelming, terrible vision. He's like, the sheer understanding of this vision will bring terror to the reader. These days are not something to look forward to. These are days that we ask God for mercy, to spare us, to give us more time to spread more seed, and that he'll give us revival in the land. But we've got to repent, but we can't repent. You know as well as I do from your past. If you're a believer now and God has made changes in your life, that came about because of the Lord. Nobody can repent. You're in bondage to your own sin. This world's getting ridiculous. It's getting really bad. The evil suspicion level in this world is getting terrible. It's almost getting to the point where you can't say something without somebody going off in this perception that, you know, that you are not saying what you mean. There must be some ulterior motive. I've got to be like survival and stay alive on the island. I've got to make allies and look at this person doing this. And everybody's talking about everybody. There's all this gossip. There's all this drama. And it's been facilitated by these online, you know, social sites where everybody posts their status and everybody's checking what everybody's doing and they're all talking to one another. It's getting bad. I mean, you look at the red horse of the apocalypse in, I think it's Revelation chapter 6, okay, where it talks about the red horse. And the seal was open, and I saw a red horse, and a rider on the red horse was given a large sword to take peace from the earth, to make men slay one another. And that doesn't have to be with a physical sword. You can slay one another with your words. Paul said, you know, if you fight and quarrel, watch out, you're going to bite and devour one another. You know, it's God says, I killed you with the words of my prophets. You can slay somebody with your words. The tongue is like a sword, okay? Just like Jesus, out of his mouth protruded a double-edged sword. And when you wield the word of God, be compassionate. Be compassionate. Because you can slice somebody to pieces. You can tear somebody up. You can destroy somebody's faith and courage if you're not careful. The Lord is our shepherd. He is our good shepherd. He gives us his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, to dwell in our hearts that we might become like his Son. Let us be like our Master. Let us be compassionate and gentle. Sure. When somebody is rebellious in spirit, you can bring the sword out. That's what the law's for, to break them down. Because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. So, you know, I've talked about a lot of things in this podcast, and there wasn't, you know, just one specific thing. I think one of the main things that I wanted to hit on was to give encouragement to the weary. I wanted to hit on the topic of the numbness that can happen because of the darkness. People are just kind of shutting down to it. I can't take it. So they numb themselves so they can deal with it. This is a very subtle thing that will lead to drawing you away from the Lord, making you feel distant from the Lord. So it's all about staying in the Word. If I have to get on here every time and just keep saying that, stay in the Word of God. Read the Bible. Pray. Cry out for mercy. My wish is that anybody that gets this podcast will see that there is a spiritual battle going on. We can talk 9 ways to Sunday about Babylon's news stories. I could pull news stories off of Fox. I can pull it off of CNN, and we can say this is happening. I mean, we just had a massive oil spill. Who knows where that's going? I mean, it's horrible. I mean, we've got, you know, troubles going on over in Israel, you know, with Turkey and Iran and all these Middle East nations is coming to a hilt. Sure. I believe it's highly possible that the abyss was opened on 9/11, and what happens after Satan's released from the abyss in Revelation chapter 20, he gathers the nations together for war. He goes out to deceive the nations once more, to bring the world together, deceive the nations, to gather them together for war. And that's Armageddon. That's Revelation chapter 16, right along verse 12. You know, that's the sixth bowl is Armageddon. So, you know, the timelines have been messed up with mainstream theology. There's a lot of things going on. You feel like a lot of things are swirling around you right now. And the Lord, since we're all in the boat and we're like, Lord, don't you see the storms? You know, don't you care that we perish? And he's looking at you, my dear friend, and he's saying, where is your faith? Where is your faith? He is the master. He's the one that created the physics of the world, that create the storms. He said to the storm in that boat that day, peace, be still. And it was. And in fact, it was so crazy. I mean, his mastery over all of our reality, because he created everything, it scared the living daylights out of the apostles. They're like, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? God is on his holy throne. I'll point you guys to Psalm chapter 2. Why do the nations conspire and rage? Why do the heathen rage? The Lord says, I've installed my king on Zion's holy hill. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in a moment. It's about reconciling back to our Creator, our Father, through Jesus Christ, our Mediator. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the one and only begotten Son of God. You can't save yourself based on your works. You broke the law. We all broke the law. And I'm not minimizing that. But there is no name under salvation where men must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. He is the mediator between God and man. Like Moses was the mediator between Israel and God. He is the mediator. He broke down that middle wall of partition through his blood. He made a sacrifice to God and purchased us back. And through his Spirit, he works with us to present us back to the Father without spot or blemish, blameless. not sinless, but blameless. You are justified through the blood of Christ. It is through faith in Christ that your heart will change. It is through faith in Christ. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For it is by grace that you are saved. Through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It's not through works, so that no man can boast or brag. God doesn't want pride in his kingdom. And I love all you guys. I love you guys out there. I know you're searching. And some of you out there may have religion. You may have religion. You may know the doctrines. You may know the Bible verses. But you're struggling. You are struggling, and you know inside that something is wrong. You reach out, you pray, but you don't have any power. That power comes from a genuine encounter with the Lord. I charge you to cry out to the Lord. Cry out and ask Him for His Spirit. Ask Him for what it is that you're missing. The Bible says that when you seek the Lord with all your heart, you will find Him. How do you do that, though? Only God can bring you to that point where you are reaching out for Him like He's the only drop of water in the desert. Only God can do that. We must seek Him with all our hearts. God gives us many promises. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope in a future. God is a good God. We can't even really add good to God, because that's describing God with an action. Our whole idea of good comes from Him, because He just is good. Our standard is God. Everything that we measure and litmus test things all around us need to be based on the standard of God. If we're going to tune our guitars, if our lives are the guitars, God is the tuner. He's the tuning fork. We tune in to Him, and we know that when we're tuned into Him and we are doing as He does, we are doing good. We're not going to come to unity under so many different standards where everybody's like, oh, truth's relative. My truth's not your truth. Okay? So, the Bible is our standard. God is our standard. We must stay in the Word. And I want to encourage you guys to find your strength in the Word of God. Find your strength in that secret place. Read Psalm 37. Okay? The wicked will be no more. You'll look for them, but they will not be found. God is going to rescue His beloved. He will rescue us from this world. Keep the faith. Don't ever lose faith, because Jesus told us, and I believe Him, He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, even to the end of the age. Even when things get horrible and it seems so dark that there's no light and you think that you've been abandoned, I will never leave you nor forsake you, even to the end of the age. Even during these days, the Lord is seeking you. Go to Him. Read His Word. Reach out. Reach out to Him, and He will reach out to you. However much fervency you put into your prayer towards Him will be the fervency of His response to you. When the prodigal son came running back to the father held his arms wide open, put the ring on his finger, put the best robe on him, killed the fatted calf, and they had a feast. He's calling to His prodigal children, come home. Please come home. You know the world is swirling around. You know that this culture is in that golden cup. You know that it's the filth of Babylon's adulteries. And I'm preaching to myself here. It's the maddening wine of the harlot's adulteries. And if we partake of that maddening wine, we're going to go mad right along with it. Don't get deep into these conspiracies. Don't let yourself get sucked in by everything that's going on. In these last days, keep our eyes focused on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Lord gave me a word today from His word as I was doing my devotions. And He basically, I heard Him say in my spirit, through my thoughts very clearly, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your desires, your affections, those things that you have affection for, set your desires on things above. Pursue righteousness. Flee from all these things. It is imperative that we stay focused on the Lord through these last days in this darkness. There is a, for some reason I'm being led to a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I want to read that to you. It's right towards the end. I think when he's speaking to Timothy. It says, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed, and in doing so have wandered from the faith. Grace be with you. What is that grace? Ephesians 2, 8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Let me read that again. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. What is that? That's the faith that's been handed down one time to all the saints. The faith. That which we have been taught. We're to hold on to it. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away. The fear of the Lord is to eschew evil. That means the fear of the Lord means to hate evil, to run from it, because you fear the Lord. Turn away from godless chatter. Well, let me ask you, friends, what do you think godless chatter is? It would be chatter that has nothing to do with God. That would be talking about delving into all of Babylon's news stories or Babylon's religions and the conspiracies and Alex Jones and all this stuff. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge. Well, you know, you could be biting into the tree of the knowledge of good and evil getting in these conspiracies. What are we going to do if we stand before the Lord one day and He's going to say, that was the end times? You know, the Lord says, I told the end from the beginning. So are we spiritually in the garden, partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil by getting into these mystery religions? All of a sudden you get into these conspiracies, and what does it do? You feel pillaged and disillusioned. And what do? You start, the world starts putting on the fig leaves. Oh, we got to worship on Saturday. We got to do this. We got to do that. And it's all for naught. It's all lost. Everybody's lost. All have gone astray. For all have come short of the glory of God. It's already lost. Our only hope is Jesus Christ. And to let Him work in us. It's not us doing it. It's not me doing this podcast. I didn't come up with all this. I didn't even start this podcast with anything to say. You wonder how you hear from the Lord. He speaks to you in your thoughts. You ever been preaching to somebody? You just know what you're going to say. And that's God speaking through you. It's how you hear from Him. He speaks to you in your thoughts. You need to discern which thoughts are coming from the enemy and which thoughts are coming from God, and, you know, be able to discern the difference. But let's turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge. You know, this secret knowledge, the secret tree, the secret fruit, okay? Let's turn away from that, from these opposing ideas, which some have professed, and in doing so have wandered from the faith. If you start professing this falsely, these opposing ideas and what is falsely called knowledge, the Bible says that in doing so, some have wandered from the faith. Now, I've spoken to some of the listeners. They've emailed me. You know, I've watched the progression of their doubts. I tried to tell them, you know, stay away from this stuff. Stay away from this stuff. They keep sending me these stories, these web pages with all this stuff. And what about this? And I've had some listeners start questioning the Bible. And it's just horrible. It's horrible. So, this podcast was somewhat of a mishmash. I'm probably going to name this something, something along the fact of Babylon the Harlot and the Manding Wine of Her Adulteries. I'm not sure. I'm sure you guys already know what the title is. Isn't this a weird thing? You know, I don't even know what the title of the podcast is going to be, and you're listening to it, you know it, but you had to wait to get to this point to find out. That I, at the point that I recorded this, I didn't know it. Yes, I'm weird. I have a very, very unique mind, I guess you could say. But, I hope there was something I spoke about a lot of things and I jumped from topic to topic, but it's really not anything that is too far off from what I've been talking about all along. I mean, this is the ministry of True Stream Oasis, and I repeat myself, and that's cool. Like Paul the Apostle says, I don't mind doing it. It's a safeguard for you. But yeah, the world is swirling. They sowed the wind and reaped the whirlwind. And I started out the podcast. If you go back to the very, very beginning True Stream Oasis podcast, you'll see that I was talking about the whirlwind. And that, you know, you sow the wind and you reap the whirlwind. And, you know, that's what I felt was coming. I would tell people, I say, look, a whirlwind's coming. There's going to come a time where you don't know what you feel like what you know as truth is being eroded. The winds and events are blowing and swirling all around you, and you feel confused and alone. And I've told you to strap a chain around your ankle and take that chain, attach it to a spike, and drive that spike into the rock. That way you won't blow away. Christ is our anchor in the midst of the storm. We are not going to make this through, friends. We're not going to make it through this. If you don't stand in faith, you will not stand at all. Let me repeat that. If you do not stand strong in your faith, you will not stand at all. And your faith is based in the Word of God, and they are trying to erode the Word of God. There are subtle spiritual battles going on. See, the government isn't what you thought it was. This isn't what you thought it was. They're bringing all these lies out, and you are going to feel very burned by mankind, by the government that you probably said you didn't trust, but you realize that since you're so upset about what went on, that you kind of did trust them. They're going to, you know, people are getting more wicked. People are going to burn you. They're going to do things behind your back. They're going to talk behind your back. They're going to lie to your face. There, many things will happen. Brother will betray brother. Family will betray family. Many things are going to happen. And that may make you get to the point where you feel like you don't trust anything. You're like, well, what if the Bible was a conspiracy? If you go there, my friend, you are spinning and you got nothing to hold on to. You're going to float out into space. You know by reading the scriptures that it lays bare the hearts of men. It tells the truth. You know it intrinsically because God put his spirit in you, and his spirit confirms when you read the scriptures that God is telling the truth. And just people don't want to hear it. It's because of guilt. You know, it's guilt. It's the conscience. And therefore, they have their conscience seared as if it was by hot iron. It gets so hardened that they can't hear the truth anymore. And they don't want to hear it because they want to feel good in little la-la land, in flesh land. We all have that propensity within us. The flesh is weak. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And in some ways, it's very strong towards the flesh, but it's weak towards the spirit. because it just wants to keep doing what it wants to do. And until we came to meet the Lord, the world very carefully programmed us with neural connections and triggers to react spontaneously to temptations. You know, you see a commercial on television for a restaurant, and they got this new meal and it looks juicy and you're hungry for it. You're like, oh yeah, let's go there. You're neurally connected to respond. So we come to the Lord with our flesh wired to wanting to satisfy itself with the things that the world offers. And it is a battle. You are like a proverbial salmon swimming upstream, going against the grain. And it's difficult. And so I'm just kind of rambling on now. It's probably not anything I haven't said before, but like I said, I just wanted to remind you and remind myself, I guess. But I want to let you guys know that I love you. I love you because Christ loved me, Christ loves you, and we love because he loved us first. And I'm praying for you guys, for all you listeners out there, for those of you who are downloading this in China. I love you guys. Thank you for taking the time to listen. I am so excited about all the listeners that are downloading this in China. It's just like, you know, coming from as an American to those of you in China, my brothers and sisters in China, we always hear how China doesn't, you know, is communist and, you know, they don't, you know, allow you to hear the word of God, but God's moving there. And I think that's awesome. And I praise him for his work. It's not my work, it's his. And I truly mean that because I struggle right along with you guys. And I've even told some of you guys, I battle my flesh just like everybody else does. We're supposed to confess our sins one to another so we don't get into this churchianity thing where everybody's got a suit on and they know how to speak the Bible and everybody's sinning behind everybody's back, but everybody thinks everybody else is so much more righteous than them. No, we're all sinners. We're all saved by grace, saved by the same blood. But I am so excited about you guys in China. I'm getting some downloads in Dubai, just the UK, all over Europe. And the United States is amazing. People are downloading this all over the United States. So it's awesome. I'm just really excited about that. And just want you guys to know that I love you. I'm praying for you. I support you. Please support me in prayer. I really do need your prayers that God will give me something to share with you guys. And, you know, we're a team. We're a family. More so than a team, we're a family. And this is a fellowship. We are all fellows in the same ship going through the same things. And so I just wanted to encourage you guys to patiently endure the course that is laid out before you. We will all go through this together. I want to read that verse that I started out with one more time. It's Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And do not be weary in well-doing. Don't faint away from doing good, for in due season you shall reap if you don't lose heart. So I want to encourage you guys with that. We're all in this battle. We're all facing our own individual situations. We're in it together. We need to support each other in prayer. Pray for the saints worldwide. Names that you don't even know. Ask God to get your brothers and sisters through this. That he will deliver us from these perilous times and deliver us from such such incredible evil all around us. He is our rescuer and deliverer. And we will see each other once again in God's kingdom. And on that note, I will reel in this cast and just want to give you my contact information. If you guys want to email me, you can email me at epiphos@hotmail.com. That is epiphos@hotmail.com. That's spelled E-P-I-P-H-O-S. E-P-I-P-H-O-S at hotmail.com. And once again, For those of you that want to subscribe, you can subscribe at truthstreamoasis.com. You can subscribe at truthstream.podomatic.com. Or you can go ahead and subscribe to the Revelation Radio Network feed that has all the podcasts, or select which ones you want at revelationsradionetwork.com. God bless all of you, and may he hide all of you under the shadow of his mighty wings. I'm your host, Amos Ridley, and if I don't see you on this side, I certainly hope to see you on the other side.
Forgiving, tell me, friend, are you believing? Tell me.